It's just the way it is. So deal with it. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a program designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Now get your Bible, and let's study together.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open, I'll be referring to different verses as we go along. We're in the process of a rather long study on what do you do about pain and suffering and how does a Christian deal with it. We're talking about the guilt that Christians often feel because they believe in their heart of hearts in divine earthly retribution. If you're rich, you're good. If you're healthy, you're righteous. If things are going your way, it's because you're obedient. That's a lie. It's from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. And if you've got cancer, you must have done something really, really bad. If you lost your job, if you'd been more obedient, you wouldn't have lost your job. Folks, that's just not true. And I'm going to spend a lot of time tomorrow and then into next week talking about why it's not true. But we're going down a side road because if you're going to teach the whole counsel of God, you got to say these things. There is in the Bible the teaching on chastening in Hebrews 12:6. God sometimes does chasten. Ever see obnoxious kids that ought to be disciplined and their parents won't discipline them? And you think, I'll do it for you. Well, God's not like that. I mean, he knows exactly when it's time to say that's enough. And when he says that's enough, he only has to say it once because his word is, in fact, the action. And sometimes we're chastened when we're going in the wrong way, but always in love. Sometimes we saw our ropes break simply because we do dumb things. We looked at the frog soup that Pharaoh was eating, and he was tired of it, and he told Moses to get rid of the frogs tomorrow. That was a dumb statement. And if he hadn't frog soup anymore, it was his own fault. One of my favorite quotations, and I've given it to you a number of times, is from Billy Sunday. A sinner can repent, but stupid is forever. Sometimes the explanation for a bit of pain and suffering is simply that you did something dumb. If I don't prepare for this broadcast, I might say, well, I'll just trust the Holy Spirit. Now, I may bore people. I may mishandle God's word. I may turn off any unbelievers who are flipping across the dial. Suppose after the broadcast, I say to my wife, Anna, that was a real bomb, the broadcast today. I'll just have to believe that God is teaching me something. I wish I knew what it could be. Now, I have an extremely honest wife. If I should say that to Anna, she would say to me, honey, I love you, but the only thing God is trying to teach you is that you're lazy. He's saying to you that it's dumb to try to teach God's word without preparation. Sometimes broken ropes simply happen because of dumb things we do. Then there's one other thing I want to teach you before we, and I'll do that today, and then tomorrow we'll look at why it isn't because you're wrong. Thirdly, some broken ropes occur because that's the way it works. One of the saddest passages in the entire Bible is what followed after David, the friend of God, had committed adultery with Bathsheba and caused the death of her husband. I'm really having trouble talking today. But I'm going to keep at this until it gets better. At any rate, Bathsheba was pregnant with David's child. The prophet Nathan confronted David with his sin. Now, this is 2 Samuel 12:13-14. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. A lot of people believe that God created laws to keep us from having any fun. That's not so. God has given us laws to warn us of danger. The Jews, on purpose, consider the law of God God's greatest gift to them. It is through the law that we know God's will, and if we ignore God's laws, we do it at our own peril. We're now plagued, and I use that word carefully, with some very frightening sexually transmitted disease in this country and in Canada. Now, those who say that God looks down from heaven and says, oh, I caught you, you're gay, now you're going to get it, I'm going to give you AIDS or herpes or something for doing those immoral things. No, that's not true. But the fact remains that if we had obeyed God's laws from the beginning, we would not have the problems with those diseases now. Those diseases are a part of God's judgment, but not in the way some people think. They do not signify particular angry, specific judgment on people who do wrong. Rather, they're built-in consequences of ignoring God's clear directions. The cross represents the place where Christ died for our sins and is the sign of God's love, but it is also the sign of God's hurt. Every time someone dies of AIDS, I believe God weeps, just as a mother weeps when her child, the one she told to stay in the yard, climbs over a fence and is hit by a car. God has given His Word. His Word shows us the best way to live, and if we refuse to live that way, get out of the way. You think about that. Amen. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, but I want to very quickly get into the reason it isn't your fault. But we're gonna do some questions and answers as we do on the last part of Wednesday's broadcast. My pastor will be in on Friday, and we'll answer some more questions. We love to get your questions. You can send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can make a contribution or get the booklet we're offering or the magazine or become a part of Key Life Tapes, all free. But you got to write down your question. And you always get an answer, by the way, from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. A couple of things. Don't forget to include the call letters of the station when you write or call. A reminder, Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. The council is widely recognized as a Christian financial organization created to assure ethical monetary practices by its members. And don't forget our website, keylife.org. That's www.keylife.org. You can listen to today's broadcast or the previous 30, which are archived there, and lots of other good stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. Enough. Let's turn to some of these questions. This is from Florida. What does it mean to take up one's cross? Is this a reference to persecution? Probably in the strictest sense, when Jesus said about taking up a cross, means facing up to the inevitable persecution that He promised would follow the Christians who are faithful. However, I think that one can take it a bit further than that, because I think a cross is what hurts. A cross is where the pain is. A cross is what really gets to us. And sometimes facing that and going to the pain, as it were, taking up one's cross, is the solution to the place where we find God. Larry Crabb, my friend, says that when it hurts, you got to probe it. You got to go after it. Don't run from it. Probe it until you get to the place where it hurts so bad that only God can fix it. And I think that's also a part of the teaching from Jesus that we should take up our cross. This is from Florida. What's the difference between conviction of the Spirit and feeling guilty? Are they the same? What about the Spirit's conviction and Satan's condemnation? Well, first, don't feel guilty except about things that God has clearly revealed in His Word. You know, there are expert guilt manipulators all around. And I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about teachers. I'm talking about people in the media. I'm talking about specials on television. Everywhere you turn, you can be manipulated because you're not doing such and such, or you are doing such and such. And when you feel guilty and condemned because that, and it's not in God's Word, it's not from God, it's from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. And let me tell you something else. Guilt only has one purpose, and that's to drive you to the throne of grace. When it does that, and you've asked for forgiveness, and you still feel condemned, that comes from the great condemner, Jesus Himself. conviction of the spirit and feeling legitimately guilty are the same thing. Are they similar? That comes from God, from His loving hand, because He loves you. But if you're feeling guilty for something that you did 20 years ago, and you confessed it up 10,000 times, and you still feel a worm and that you deserve nothing, let me tell you where that comes from. It does not come from God. It comes from Satan himself. This is from Illinois. Can you explain how the apparent wrath of God in the Old Testament compares to the love of Christ in the New Testament? You know, I love you, and I'm glad for the question. It's a question I get a lot. And I'm not saying you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny or anything like that. But you haven't read either the Old Testament or the New Testament. You're simply saying what somebody told you. Some of the finest teaching on the love of God in the entire Bible is found in the Old Testament. And some of the most scary teaching on the wrath of God is found in the New Testament and sometimes from the lips of Jesus himself. You're not going to find out much about hell in the Old Testament. You're going to find out about it a lot in the New Testament, and mainly from the lips of Jesus himself. And the greatest example of God's wrath in the entire Bible, poured out on a totally innocent man, is found on the cross, when a perfect man experienced the full wrath of God. So be careful about making God into somebody who's mean in the Old Testament and nice in the New Testament. That's simply not true. And while it's a good question, my dear friend from Illinois, go read your Bible a little bit more. Now, there is the setup of the law of God and what happens when God leads his people in a way that he wants them to go, because out of them will come the Messiah, and is very harsh. But that, even in that, it's an example of the love of God. Let me see if I can find a short one here, because I have a short bit of time. This is from Florida. What did Jesus look like? We don't know. That's the short answer. We know he was not beautiful, because Isaiah tells that in his prophecy. He's probably just a little Jewish rabbi, but a perfect one. Guys, got to get out of here. Whenever you write a call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. And, oh, yeah, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.